Imagine a world where revenge becomes obsession and hatred transforms into a twisted form of love. This is the dangerous territory where Mia Sokolov and Landon King's story unfolds. When chess prodigy Mia orchestrates a public humiliation against renowned British sculptor Landon, dousing him in pig blood during an elite Manhattan party, she expects outrage. What she gets instead is something far more terrifying: interest. Standing there, blood-soaked and grinning, Landon locks eyes with her across the crowded room and makes a silent promise that sends chills down her spine. In this single, crimson-drenched moment, the hunter becomes the hunted, and a psychological game more complex than any chess match begins. What makes this encounter so chilling isn't just Landon's calm reaction, but the predatory recognition in his eyes. He's found something rare and fascinating. For a man diagnosed with antisocial and narcissistic personality disorders, who views people as mere objects on his mental chessboard, Mia represents something he's never encountered before, a worthy opponent who might also become his greatest masterpiece. Mia hasn't spoken a word in 11 years. At 8, a traumatic kidnapping left her selectively mute, communicating only through sign language while sheltered by her Russian mafia family. Her silence isn't merely absence, it's a fortress built from trauma, a defense mechanism that became her identity. This silence serves as both vulnerability and weapon. In a world of constant chatter, her quietness makes people uncomfortable, compelling them to pay attention and work harder to understand her. This paradox draws in Landon, a man who sculpts beauty from stone yet cannot unravel the mystery of her voluntary silence. The breakthrough comes when Landon is shot by Mia's former nanny, who was complicit in her childhood kidnapping. Facing his possible death, Mia breaks 11 years of silence to scream his name. This isn't a magical cure. Her voice returns in fragments, sometimes failing entirely, showing that healing isn't linear. Sometimes love doesn't heal wounds, it simply gives us reason to bear them. Chess matches between Mia and Landon mirror their relationship: strategic, intense, and calculated. Both exceptional players approach the board as they do life, thinking ahead, sacrificing for position, maintaining control. Their first encounter at Riverside Chess Club establishes their power dynamic. Landon recognizes Mia as his blood prank assailant and calmly threatens her sister as leverage, an aggressive opening gambit. Each subsequent interaction becomes another move in their ongoing game, with psychological warfare extending beyond the board. During one pivotal match, Landon proposes a loaded bet. If he wins, they discuss Mia's kinks. If she wins, he becomes her slave boy for a week. His victory shifts their dynamic, though Mia positions for a counterattack. Professor Caden observes them and tells Mia she's playing a treacherous, warlike game rather than chess, equally applicable to her relationship with Landon. Initially opponents, they gradually learn to coordinate against external threats, eventually discovering that sometimes the greatest victory comes from refusing to play at all. Clay under fingernails, marble dust coating skin, 12-hour creative frenzies that leave fingers bleeding. For Landon, art isn't merely expression, it's compulsion, identity, and his most fluent language. Despite commanding six-figure prices in prestigious galleries, he remains perpetually dissatisfied until witnessing Mia's terror-induced human stone pose, which ignites unprecedented inspiration. He creates dozens of miniature sculptures capturing different aspects of her terror-stricken form. Yet even these praised works frustrate him. Something essential about her remains elusive. This artistic frustration mirrors his emotional limitations. Just as he can't fully capture Mia in art, he struggles to understand his feelings for her. His exhibition, The Mystery of a Muse, features 30 life-size statues of Mia. The centerpiece, a haunting statue with sewn lips, one proud wing and one broken, raising both middle fingers, becomes his most celebrated work, capturing both trauma and defiance. His obsession reveals his fundamental flaw, seeing Mia as merely inspiration rather than a person with agency. His growth comes in recognizing she isn't just his muse, but the reason I create at all, not an object to perfect, but a person to love. I'm not a child anymore. I get to decide who I want in my life. With these words, Mia confronts her family after they kidnap and beat Landon to protect her. This moment reveals how family can be both sanctuary and prison, offering unconditional love while sometimes stifling independence. Their families expose different dysfunctions. Mia's Russian mafia family provides fierce protection but suffocating vigilance. Landon's aristocratic king family offers material privilege but emotional distance. His mother, Astrid, tells Mia, "He participated in so many activities to fill an emptiness inside him, revealing how achievements compensated for emotional neglect." The most devastating revelation comes when Mia learns her twin Maya unwittingly assisted in her kidnapping by providing information to their nanny, who orchestrated the crime. Maya's subsequent silence created a web of guilt that poisoned their relationship for years. Family relationships form the foundation that shaped both protagonists. Mia's emotional richness stems from growing up surrounded by love, while Landon's limitations reflect his isolation despite privilege. Their relationship navigates difficult territory, raising questions about agency amid unequal power dynamics. Landon's dominance and Mia's responses blur traditional consent boundaries through scenarios of chase, capture, and submission. What redeems these elements is Mia's maintained independence. She challenges Landon when he oversteps, setting boundaries he ultimately respects. When she threatens him over her family's safety, he takes her seriously. When she signs, "I love you," she accepts his emotional limitations without demanding the impossible. The story explores how trauma complicates desire. Mia's childhood kidnapping left her with complex responses, including a fear of darkness that, paradoxically, disappears with Landon. Unlike her kidnapper, Landon allows her to retain fundamental agency despite his controlling nature. This nuanced approach doesn't excuse problematic behaviors, but examines how sexuality can be complex, particularly when shaped by trauma, power dynamics, and psychological differences. Through Mia's perspective, we see a relationship that's neither purely toxic nor conventionally healthy, but authentically complicated. What if love doesn't change who we are, but reveals what we're capable of becoming? The story's resolution depends on both characters developing deeper understanding. Landon's antisocial personality disorder remains, but he learns to channel possessiveness into protection rather than control, recognize Mia's needs alongside his own, and express love through actions when words fail. When questioned about his love, Landon explains, "For me, it's not about letting someone go, but protecting them until my dying day." This represents translation rather than transformation, expressing feelings within his psychological constraints. Mia accepts Landon's limitations while recognizing his genuine commitment. "He was born different and will always be, but that's exactly who I've fallen for," she realizes. In their world, redemption doesn't require becoming someone new. It means finding someone who sees your authentic self, complications and all, and chooses to stay anyway. Perhaps that's the most profound love, allowing us to finally be exactly who we are.